Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
I want you all to know that you all are in for a treat today. God, it's not a happenstance that you're here. It's not a happenstance that I'm here. I'm here by divine providence. So why do you think that? I'll tell you more about it, but I got so depressed and felt so inadequate that I called my preacher's friends up, like Austin Jones, and said, "Austin, I just can't preach anymore. So don't call on me again." But a miracle has happened. Last night he called on me, and I said yes, because I'd called him before, and I said, "Austin, I can preach again." You see, I couldn't preach because I felt totally inadequate. But my adequacy is not in Mike Mayo. It's in God Almighty. Do you know there's a time in the Bible, the Old Testament, where David said to his mighty men of war, he said, "Oh," he said, "if I could just have one more drink. If I could just have one more drink, the well at Bethlehem." And one of his soldiers, very courageous soldier, risked his life and went to the well at Bethlehem and brought him back drink. David was so happy that he did. But he took the drink and he poured it out as a drink offering to God. Today, I'm pouring out a drink offering, rejoicing in God Almighty for restoring my soul. I just thank him for it. I think one of the most saddest passages in all the Bible is the passage I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read to you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. By the way, you're not here by happenstance. You're here because you're the salt and the light of this church. If you wouldn't be here, the church would not be here. I love your mission statement. Neely's Bend Baptist Church exists to glorify God by equipping people with the gospel of Jesus to live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission to make disciples in Neely's Bend. Wow. In Madison beyond. You know, I had an opportunity to preach at a little church. Actually, it's not a little church, about the same size as this. And they'd been running about 7. But this particular Sunday, it was Mother's Day, so they had 12. And I asked one of the saints, I said, "What's happened?" She said, "Well, they all got old and died." Do you see the word "make disciples" in here? What do you think will happen to this church if you don't make disciples? everyone in my voice will be with glory and glory. You see, we have to make new disciples. Where would the church be today if Jesus hadn't made disciples? Where would the church be today if the disciples hadn't made disciples? Where will this church be tomorrow if you don't make disciples? That's a challenge to you. But like I said, it breaks my heart to even read this. But you need to hear it. Because I want you to have a genuine relationship with Christ. If you have a genuine relationship with Christ, you can rejoice with me. Because of the love of God, you've been saved. You repented of your sins. You asked Jesus to come into your heart, and by faith, you're saved. But if you don't have a relationship with God, that's so important. Don't leave this building without knowing that you have a genuine, heartfelt relationship with God. Well, preacher, how do I know whether I have a relationship or not? From the time you receive Christ, is your relationship growing, declining, or mediocre? Now, if it's growing, you've truly been saved. If it's mediocre, you're what we Baptists call backslidden. Time to recommit, rededicate. I'm concerned this morning about our, mine, and your relationship. Let's look at the 7th chapter, verse 21 through 23. Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Uh-oh, what did he just say? I thought we were saved by grace. Certainly we're saved by grace. But what did he say? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Oh, for crying out loud. Can you imagine getting before God Almighty and he said, Mike Mayo, I don't know who you are. You're a stranger. He's not going to say that, though. He's going to say, these gates are wide open for you. I'll say something so you can remember this. You know what's going to happen when my dear precious bride goes there? She's going to come to St. Peter and he's going to say, why should I open these gates? And she's going to say, because of the shed blood of Christ on the cross. Well, he said, I'm going to kind of determine what kind of room I'm going to put you in. Will it be like a shack, a middle income house? Or what will it be? Do you have anything that could help me get you into a good place to live? Two words, she says. Mike Mayo, come on in. We've got the Biltmore right here waiting for you. For you've had the patience and love for him all these years, and you deserve a mansion in the sky. I ain't kidding. I'll tell you one thing, on this athletic field right here on this property, she and I met for the first time. We played in a mixed league softball. We had to have one more lady or we'd have to forfeit. She said, I'm not good at softball. I said, you don't have to be good at softball. We'll put an outfielder on each side of you. She even got a hit that day. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawless, are you that are in iniquity. iniquity. Depart from me, oh me. Can you imagine Jesus saying to one of us, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Who are you? Oh my goodness. I often ask people, do you know Jesus? I asked a fellow not long ago at Hendersonville Hospital, I said, do you know Jesus? He said, well, yes, I do, but I'm afraid I might lose my salvation. I told him, I said, I'd rather you have salvation and worry about losing it than not have it to start with. Because the fact that you're worried about losing it tells me you probably got it. Because you can't return to where you haven't been. You see, we know we are saved by our relationship. What do you mean by that, Pastor? When's the last time you talked to Jesus? Do you know it says in the Bible the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? You know what one of the most earnest prayers I pray? Dear God, speak through me today. That every lost person will be saved and every saved person will be more consecrated and committed for your glory. That's an effectual prayer. And the Bible says if we pray in his will, it shall be done. Do you know Jesus? Well, you said, I think I do. Years ago, it was about 25, 30 years, maybe 50. Well, I don't remember how long ago. I went down and shook the pastor's hand. I actually asked God to forgive me of my sins. I didn't ask you, did you shake the preacher's hand? I didn't ask you if you asked for repentance. I said, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship? Yes, we Baptists believe in security of the believer. I truly believe that. But there's a caution. And what is the caution? Have you been saved? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Is that relationship real right now? And you would know that. We know that. Did you hear the words we were reading from David? Oh God, cleanse me with hyssop. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. How do we know that David is a man after God's own heart? Because when he was broken by sin, and he was out of fellowship, he wept bitterly. Cleanse me. Thee only have I sinned. He didn't blame anybody. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't blame anybody. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. How much is Jesus a part of your life? How many decisions do you make? Do you consult him first? A friend of mine, they were thinking about moving closer to their family. And I said, well, have you asked Jesus about it? If he wants you to move, you need to move. If he doesn't want you to move, you better stay put. I can't tell you what he said, but he'll tell you. Is our life surrendered to God? Is our life, are we crucified in Christ? Paul said, I am crucified in Christ, not that I live, but you live through me, Lord Jesus. So many people are living in the world, but they're not living in the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And there's something that we believe as Baptists that is true, but it can be used of Satan. All you got to do is collect your fire insurance and do as you please until you die. That's about as pagan as anything I've ever heard in my life. Because you're truly saved, you're not worrying about your fire insurance. You're worrying about pleasing Jesus. You're worrying about dedicating your life. When I say worry, you're in joy serving. Only God knows how happy I was to come today. Why? Because I said, Lord Jesus, use me again in your service. Allow me to preach another time. Forgive me for trusting in old Mike Mayo and not in you. Then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now what in the world does it mean by taking up the cross? We got two wills. We got our own will and the will of God. When you take up your cross, you put yourself over here and you put Christ in front. That's what it means by taking up your cross. What are you going to do? What are anybody going to do when we meet judgment and we do not know Christ? How sad that would be. How sad it would be. But can you see any change in my daily maturity in Christ? Can you all see any change in Mike Mayo this morning? I hope you can. But I am preaching with conviction. I'm preaching with joy. I truly love every one of you. I truly love Austin Jones. And hadn't he got a precious family? There's his new baby. And I was so happy that he wanted me to come preach to you all. And there's a reason. You know, if you just don't know Jesus and live your life for Satan, he'll leave you alone. But when you try to live your life for Jesus, look out. Because Satan doesn't bother anybody that's sold out to him. He bothers those that he's trying to destroy their life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and life abundant. Of course Satan wants to steal your joy. One of the greatest tools of Satan is a word called worry. You know how many times the word fear is in the Bible? Why? Because we deal with fear, humanly speaking. I remember the first chance I had an opportunity to come and preach at a mission church in Springfield. And I was telling the liaison guy that came from Springfield Baptist Church to the mission that I was worried about something. He said, I don't worry. What do you mean you don't worry? He said, I want you to remember one thing. To fail to see God in a world that's full of him is pathetic blindness. But to know him and continue to fret and worry is true unbelief. You see, when we worry, we're saying, God, you can't handle it. I'm going to have to take it on myself. Are you kidding? Are you going to tell me that God Almighty can't do more with the situation than you can yourself? Give me a break. Give me a break. Now here's the testimony. Years ago, I got to Baptist Hospital with my wife, and the surgeon came in and said, Mike, I'm sorry to tell you, but your wife has had a cerebral hemorrhage. Without a miracle, she can't live. And I said, Doctor, you mean she's brain dead? And he said, yes, she is brain dead. She was 6 months pregnant. Little baby weighed 1 pound and 15 ounces. 16 years in the Air Force. Got 4 more before it's 20. I was devastated. I had a 12-year-old son, a 9-year-old daughter, and a 1 pound, 15 ounce, tiny baby boy. Every day they'd come in and say, well, if he lives 24 more hours, he might make it. Finally, after 2 weeks, they said, well, can't promise you anything, but not going to give you 24 hours notice. So about a couple of weeks later, I went in and they said, Blake's in step down. I started crying. They said, what's wrong with you? I said, you're telling me he's worse. Uh-uh. Step down means he's better. Well, why didn't you tell me he was better? The next day, I went and they had a little stair step. Step down means step up. About 6 months ago, my wife was feeling bad and all, and we went. She had blockage. They did a couple of stents trying to, but they said they couldn't get all of it and came in and told me she's in heart failure. She's in heart failure. That devastated me. I said, here I am again. Last time it's a cerebral hemorrhage. This time it's heart failure. I can't handle this. And I started feeling totally inadequate. And I knew I couldn't stop her from dying. And inadequacy brought on anxiety, and anxiety brought on depression. And I was so depressed, I couldn't stop being depressed. I read a book by Max Lucado. Anybody ever heard of Max Lucado? He wrote a book called Taming Your Thoughts. He said you can have UFOs, an untruth can cause you to believe a false narrative. And the false narrative can cause you to overreact. The untruth was, she's going to die soon. The false narrative, of course, was, I thought she was acute heart failure. She was chronic heart failure. You can live a long time with congestive heart failure. And the overreaction was, she's going to die. And I can't stop her. She's going to die just like my first wife did, and I can't stop her, God. I feel so inadequate. That went on for about 6 months. I'm a stubborn person. I finally surrendered and I said, God, I need help. So I went to a PhD clinical psychologist and I poured out my soul to her. She said, what's the matter? I said, well, I thought my wife was going to die of heart failure, and that brought on anxiety, which triggered depression, and I can't get out of the depression. Now, hear me. I had a little talk with Jesus, and he said, Mike, it's okay for you to feel inadequate. Because you are inadequate. But I am who I am. I am totally adequate. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's okay to know we're inadequate, because we are inadequate. But with the power of God. You see, Peter, when he had his eyes on Jesus, could literally walk on water. But what happened to Peter when he looked at the storm and took his eyes off Jesus? He plunged into the water. Oh, my. Learn from this. I wish I didn't have to have this. I hope I never have this trial again. It's not my first time. You see, when God loves us so much, if we've got a problem, he'll have us deal with it. Problem is, I thought I was adequate, and I found out that I wasn't. I couldn't handle it. It's okay to feel inadequate. It's not okay to know that God Almighty is totally, totally adequate. If you truly believe that God is Almighty, your worries are over. Why? Because do you think you're worrying and help one thing about it? Do you think God Almighty can handle it? There's a member of our church that his daughter was dying of anorexia. She was starving herself to death. This lasted 11 years. Finally, he said, oh God, I just can't handle losing my daughter. And God in heaven said, I can. You can't handle it, but I can. That young lady is now a family physician. You see, take your troubles to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. That great Civil War, one of the Union soldiers asked Abraham Lincoln, was God on the side of the North? He said, soldier, you asked the wrong question. Are we on God's side? What about it? Are you on God's side? Do you have a relationship with him? John 14:21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Ah, if you keep his commandments and you love him, that's conditional. Salvation is not conditional. It's free. Obedience is not free. When you keep his commandments, he loves you and reveals his will unto you. Just like he revealed my will unto me today, saying, Mike, I'm not through with you yet. I still want you to preach my gospel. I still want you to tell people to come to me and be saved. I still want you to encourage people. I still want you to make disciples. Wow. Do you know that COVID has closed so many churches? You know why? They went to church out of habit. Church was just a sport. We come and we leave and we forget about it. Oh no. Don't come to church out of habit. Come to church out of love of God. Forsake not the assembling of each other. Come because you love the Lord. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here because you love the Lord. Wow. What about your relationship with Jesus? Is it real? Are you growing? Are you more mature today than you were yesterday? You see, as Baptists, we believe that you're either saved or backslidden, out of fellowship. You know what the most ridiculous way of living is to be a Christian out of relationship or fellowship with God. Are you in a relationship with God? Is He number one in your life? Do you love Him? Do you know how much He loves you? Romans 8:32. For He being God, who spared not His own Son, but gave Him up to the cross, how much more freely will He give us all things? Do you have any idea just how much God loves you? Stand at the base of the cross and look up at Jesus, who sacrificed Himself, a man who knew no sin, to pay our penalty for salvation. Don't tell me that Jesus doesn't love you. Don't tell me He doesn't love you. How do you stand with the Master? One day, I'll close with this. One day I had to go to the hospital. His son called me at lunch and said, "Dad has had a severe heart attack. We don't know whether he'll live or not. Would you please go and talk to him and tell him about Jesus?" I thought to myself, goodness gracious alive. If I get him excited, he could have a severe heart attack and die. But if I don't tell him about Jesus, he could spend eternity separated. So Jesus, tell me what to say to him. And I looked at him and I said, "Mr. Smith, let me tell you something. There's only one thing important about life, the most important thing, is you make things right with the Master. Make things right with the Master." And I left. That morning, the next morning, I got a call from his son. He said, "Mike, Dad wanted me to tell you he'd made things right with the Master. Have you made things right with the Master? Do you have a relationship with Him? Are you truly saved? Are you growing more in His likeness? Is every day with Jesus sweeter than the day before?" Now, if you're lost, you've never had the relationship. If you're saved, you're like David. You're all to pieces. And you know how to overcome that? "Dear God, forgive me." I had to say, "Dear God, forgive me for my inadequacy, because I know I'm inadequate. But I put my total trust in You, for You're God Almighty." Who is God to you right now? Is He God Almighty? Do you love Jesus? I know you do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Thank You for giving me. Allow me to pour out this drink offering to God, who I love. And thank You, Jesus, for giving me this opportunity to preach. Amen.